steps of spirit. By the way, you say, well, Pastor, this is pretty elementary. This morning you went over salvation. And tonight is by the way, there's nothing new under the sun. It's all right there in the Bible. But what I believe the Lord wants us to do is as a church, really, families are splattered all over the place. Clutter is destroying the Christian family. It's destroying marriages. Husband's going over here. Well, I got to go to the spa, and she's got to go to the girls' club, and the kids are going over here to soccer practice, and everybody's developing all different appetites. By the way, one of the greatest blessings I have is I have a family. We're all on the same team. We're all going the same direction. Girls don't marry a guy going a different direction. Guys don't marry a girl going a different direction. And we want to have some order. And because of there's many reasons: the world, the flesh, the devil. But a lot of it is technology, information, communication. There's so much information that we're in the age of information. How many remember? Does anyone remember this one word? It's called a library. How many remember a library? Remember back in the old days? Remember that? Remember if you wanted information, you had to get in your car or get in the bus and go to the library and go to the library and check something out. How many remember those days? There's no such. Is our library still in existence? They are. Oh, they are. Okay. Why would you want to go to a library? It's a waste of time. And they probably charge you $3 for a library card. And the librarian, you know, she's like, oh, just a minute, I've got 4 people in line. You could have already gotten that on your, you know, in your computer. And so we're trying to make it as simple as possible for our people and the future people that come into our church. So we're calling it Steps of Spiritual Growth. Go ahead, Brother Jeremy, the next one. And very simple, and we explained this morning, loving God. You say, why is loving God first? Because that's what the Bible says is first. And so loving God is first. And we said this morning, you can't love God unless you're saved. You can't. You can fear God. You can respect God because of your upbringing. By the way, we used to have a day where America feared God. And America had a respect, a reverence. There used to be a day a church could leave the front door, the church doors open. They can leave the windows open. They didn't need alarms. They didn't need security guards. Because, listen, you're not gonna burglarize a church. Not anymore. We have alarm systems here. I was at a church in Ohio, and you say, Pastor, there's securities and all this. I was a church out in the country, and I saw a armed security guard, and I said, wow, what's the deal? I mean, you know, I can see maybe in a big city, but why do you? He said the church right down the street, somebody went in the church while the ushers. By the way, don't get any ideas, you former, folks that used to rob banks and stuff, but. They took the offering plates out, and somebody was out there and stole the offering plates. Now, of course, if that was Kung Fu, he would have taken those guys out. Amen? Just wonder if you're still listening. Okay. Love God, salvation, and baptism. Okay. And then tonight we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual growth. He said, oh, spiritual growth. We're going to spend some time on that. So that's step one. What's step two? Step two is loving others. You say, why is it step two? Because Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love others. And so that should be the sequence. That in order, we should love God and love others. Now, in our church, the way we love each other, we should love everybody and go out of our way. But in our church, the best way to love each other is through a Sunday school class. That's why we encourage people to be in Sunday school, because that's where we get to know each other a little closer. We have a little more of a personal touch. We'll know if someone's having a baby, if someone's in the hospital, if someone's having a really rough time, right away, instead of assuming that everybody knows. And so we do that through Sunday school. Now I'm not going to go into all that tonight. And, of course, church membership. Join the church. We get to know you. You go through the church membership orientation, and then we have a reception and just that process next. And then serving God. So loving God, loving others, and then serving God. And serving God is similar to loving God, but serving God, Jesus said, you know, if you're going to be my disciple, you have to put me first. And then he said, if your love for me compared, if your love for me is not look like hate compared to your love for others, you can't be my disciple. And so he's saying there's a difference in a Christian and a disciple. A disciple is somebody that has said, Lord, you can have it all. And so we'll explain that later. And stewardship, everything is money. It's not money. Stewardship is, Lord, these hands are your hands, and you've just given them to me, so I'm going to take care of them. This body is your body, and I'm going to take care of it. The children that I have, there's the little shared, God's given them, they're a heritage of the Lord, and I'm going to steward them. The money I have is yours. I'm going to steward it. I'm just a manager. Okay, next. Serving others. Okay, and then once they're saved and baptized, they're in a class where they can love and they can be loved, and then they're serving God. They've gone through our discipleship. Discipleship is ongoing. It's not just a little booklet, and most of us understand that. And we teach them stewardship, stewardship of life, not stewardship of just money like most people think. Then we want to challenge people. Listen, if you're in a church, and probably most of you, go ahead and you can turn the lights on, we want to challenge everybody to get in a ministry. And you say, what kind of ministry? Well, there's different types of ministries. One thing we would want to do is do the best we can to encourage people to get in a ministry that is on their heart, something that's close to their heart. John told me this, and John told me his daughter likes children. Is that right, Trish? You like children, okay? By the way, not everybody likes children. Matter of fact, some people hate children, okay? And they're like, keep children away from me, okay? But you find people's likes and their giftedness. Some of it comes from their background, and you find how in the church that they attend how they can use their gifts. We said growing spiritually. Step one is loving God, and we said step two is loving others. Step three is serving God. Step four is serving others. And let's stand together and turn to the book of Psalms. Turn to Psalms chapter 42. Psalms 42. Psalm 42, verse number 1. As the heart panteth, little deer there, after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. If you ever watch these National Geographic animal, shows, I guess. And you see that these animals, they follow the rain. They follow the water. They follow where the water is. Because number one, you can't live without water. And number two, all the other animals are following the water. And if you're eating other animals, that's where the animals are going to be. Okay? And those of us, we live here in America, and we can get water at the store. We can get water from our sink. We can have a filter on our water. But when you're talking about an animal, the heart, as the heart, the Bible says, panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And this is David saying, my soul desires God. Everybody has a desire tonight. Everybody does. It's not God for all of us. By the way, I'd probably say for most of us, or we wouldn't be in church tonight. Okay? And what are you panting after? And that's, he said, my soul panteth after thee. Verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Okay, how many are Coke drinkers? Coke drinkers, raise your hand. Coke. How about Uncola drinkers? How many water drinkers? Oh, the healthy church. Okay, how many are milkshake drinkers? How many like anything with a lot of sugar drinkers? All right, just checking. Okay. Everybody has a thirst for something. Okay. And David was saying, my thirst is for God. Turn over to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Let's just look at verse number 1. We see why God called David a man after God's own heart. Okay? Because David panted. He thirsted. His appetite was for God. O God, verse 1, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Okay? Now, Brother Atanon, some of you guys that work on the construction site, Brother Albert, you understand this. One thing that we sought early during the days when we were getting ready to pour the foundation, when we kept having those waters, you know what I sought early? The Weather Channel on my computer. You say, Pastor, what was the first thing you did when you woke up? I'm sorry, it was not open my Bible. It was not praying. You know what it was? I turned my computer on, and I was going to see if it was going to rain. Okay, now that's to my shame. You say, why? Because we didn't want rain. We needed to pour the concrete. You know what David said? Early do I seek. First thing in the morning I seek God. And by the way, I do seek God in the morning. Look at Matthew chapter 5. He said, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Matthew 5. This is familiar territory for us. Okay. And I've preached the message on appetites, and I'm going to talk about that tonight, but I'm going to show you how that ties in with spiritual growth. Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger, do what class? And thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know what Jesus is saying? If you want to be blessed, if you want to be filled, everybody hungers and everybody thirsts, but Jesus is saying, decide what type of appetite to develop. Some people hunger after sports. Some people hunger after pleasure. But Jesus said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Father, help us tonight to get one simple truth. We'll sort of comment on quite a bit, but as we help God's people, and then help us as God's people to help other people to grow spiritually. And spiritual growth is simply developing appetite for God. That's pretty much what it is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Growing spiritually, simply put, is a process of changing our appetites with God's help from fleshly appetites to spiritual appetites. Growing spiritually also brings fulfillment. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. By the way, alcohol doesn't bring fulfillment. It's a temporary fulfillment. Drugs do not bring fulfillment. By the way, legal drugs, illegal drugs. We live in a world that's hungry and thirsty, but not finding that which fills the hunger that quenches their hunger and their thirst. Legal medication. And again, I'm not a doctor. Don't go home and throw out all your pills and all that. But even legal, here, take this for anxiety, or take this for pain, or take this for stress, take this. It's a temporary fix. Entertainment is failing to feel. Listen, we are entertained to death. We can watch anything we want. I told you this morning, I gave you the 5-minute kung fu story. Maybe been longer than that. I didn't even know if we could. I can watch. Listen, Brady Bunch, you want the Brady Bunch? You can put the Brady Bunch on. You want to watch the Three Stooges from 1933? You can watch the Three Stooges. Listen, we're entertained to death. But what did Jesus say? Jesus says, how are you filled? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, I got a new channel, or I don't know what it is, cable, or I don't know how all that works. I now can get, listen, I was in Thailand, and we can watch basketball, professional basketball in Thailand. When I was in Thailand, and I think Laos too, you can listen to American talk radio. Listen, folks, it doesn't matter how much entertainment we have. It doesn't matter how many different medications out there. And you got, listen, everything, you basically got everything at your fingertips. Jesus says, hungering and thirsting after righteousness is what fills us. Entertainment is failing to fill people. Gambling is, by the way, gambling, you say, what's wrong with gambling? Don't ask. We don't have time to tell you. Just see what happens around. Talk to these guys that used to live in Las Vegas. They'll tell you what's wrong with gambling. Talk to some of our husbands that have had wives that will go off and leave the home for 3 days or 4 days and sell everything in the house because they're addicted to gambling. Talk to some of the wives of the husbands. But gambling, what does gambling do? Gambling is like salt water. You drink it, you go back for more. You drink it, you go back for more. You're never filled. What did Jesus say? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Success. Everybody wants to. There's, the book, 10 Steps to Success or 5 Steps to Success. I have a message. It's a Christian message. 7 Steps to Success. Succeeding in here and succeeding here. Success is failing to fill people. Solomon had it all. In Ecclesiastes, his conclusion was, I hate life. John D. Rockefeller, he said, I made millions, but they brought me no happiness. W.H. Vanderbilt, the richest man in the world at the time of his death, he said, the care of $200 million is enough to kill anyone. There's no pleasure in it. I'd like to take about $2 million of it. John Jacob Astor, the first millionaire in the United States, said, I am the most miserable man on earth. Henry Ford said, I was the happier doing a mechanic's job. By the way, you say, you've had these quotes before, because why don't we learn from some of these saved people and some of these unsaved people that got what we're seeking for? We're losing our marriages, we're losing our families, we're losing our health, we're losing our joy, trying to get something that someone said, it ain't worth it. Henry Ford said, I was happier doing a mechanic's job. Andrew Carnegie said, who is often regarded as the second richest man in history, he said, millionaires seldom smile. The Lord in His Word gives us a simple remedy to be filled or fulfilled, and it's a part of the spiritual growth process. Spiritual growth, in a simple way to communicate it, is just changing our appetites. You change your appetites, you now have an appetite for the things of God, then you're motivated. You're not forced. You're not pushing the kid. You're not forcing them. You're not putting a bunch of pressure on. You look, some guy that has an appetite for sports, you don't have to say, now, son, turn on ESPN today. Do you understand that? No, man, he's waking up the ESPN. He's watching the sports. He's checking all the scores. And the same thing when we develop an appetite for God. The remedy for fulfillment is simply but rarely used, because Satan has blinded many Christians' eyes to the truth and has given us an imitation that doesn't fill. It's simply developing an appetite for God in the things of God. And again, please, we all have an appetite. Tonight, I want us to leave here and to realize this. You got to get an appetite for God, and your appetites can change. Some of us tonight, maybe we're bored stiff. We're like, I come to church, I'm bored. I read my Bible, I'm bored. Do you know why? You don't have an appetite for the things of God. But here's the good news. Your appetites can change. Now look, when I became a new Christian, I didn't have spiritual appetites. I had appetites for the things of the world. I had appetites for just fleshly things. I had and again, I still like sports. You know, I clicked on the scores of the game. What's the score? Do you guys got that New England score right now? You don't. Okay. I like it, but I don't love it. You say why? Because I can only have so much appetite in my soul. Everybody has a appetite. We have hobby appetites: sports, fishing, chess, hunting, skiing, cars, gardens. We had food appetites. How many here like Italian food? Raise your hand. How many like Mexican food? All right. How many like Brazilian food? How many like Vietnamese food? How many like Korean food? How many like Japanese food? How many like Filipino food? How many like Cambodian food? How many like Chinese food? All right, we got all kinds of appetites here tonight. Now, I could say, how many don't like Mexican food? Do you know, my wife, the first time she ever ate Mexican food was on our honeymoon. What a depraved poor soul. We went to Catalina. I took her to her. She was 23, 22, 20. I can't remember how old was she. 22 years old. Never had a taco. Poor girl. I've brought her up in the world. Amen. We all have appetite. Everybody has an appetite. There's drink appetites. Some of us like coffee. Some of us like Coke. How many like Coke? How many like Coke better than Pepsi? How many like Pepsi better than Coke? It's an appetite. I mean, that's just you. By the way, you developed that appetite. Maybe it was spontaneous. Maybe your mom was a Coke drinker. Maybe your dad was. But here's the thing. You have a thirst. The thirst is not the appetite. What you thirst for is the appetite. Relationship appetites. Everybody has an appetite. Our appetites are different. Our appetites can change. Our appetites in any area of life can change. Look, I have favorite preachers, okay? And I like the preachers I like to listen to are old timers. You say why? Because old timers, I like old time books. You said old timers, they number one, they're dead. They're not going to disappoint us. Amen. Okay. Number two, they've proven themselves. Okay. I listened to Brother Roloff. Brother Roloff was a very godly man. Very peculiar. By the way, most godly people are a little bit peculiar. Okay? And I've listened to him the last couple days. And the thing about Brother Roloff, he was very holy. He knew the Bible. He would preach for an hour and 10 minutes. No notes. No notes. Brother Howes one time preached with him. And Brother Roloff said, "Brother Jack, you'll be proud of me." He said, "I have an outline." And he showed it to Brother Howes. It was three words. He said, "Look, I have an outline." And he said, Brother Roloff, I'm proud of you. And Brother Howes said, he never mentioned one of those three words. He's a very, very godly. Now, he's in heaven now. And he got in a plane. He had his own small airplane. He got in a plane crash. But another thing is, I listen to Brother Roloff. He's holy in mind. Actually, he has a little booklet on mind, soul, and spirit. He's holy in mind. He was holy in body, soul, and spirit. And he was very, very holy in all three. Very holy in all three. And the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the body, just huge. We dropped a guy off one day on his, this is after he died. You could not bring on their property a coffee. No coffee drinking. Whew, not me, man. I'll go to the other men's home, amen. No coffee. The workers would take coffee. They'd go off the campus. If you don't drink coffee, you drink it off campus. Okay? Very, by the way, they caught their own fish. They raised their own chickens, their own turkeys. They had no chemicals in their food. They had their own fruit, their own vegetables. Of course, the girls there were trouble girls. He required two apples a day. He went through the whole thing, just very, very healthy. I've listened to him for 2 days. I'm ready to give up my In-N-Out burgers. Just 2 days. Listen, man, I was ready to start a farm in my backyard. He was talking about we're going to have 100 acres of peas and all this stuff. And he said, no chemicals and no chemicals in the fertilizer and blah, blah, blah going on. And he's going and he said, we get our own fish and we catch our own fish and we're not getting the fish that are frozen. And he said, listen, anything that's dead, anything that lives in your shelf for more than a day or two is bad. And he's going on and on. Then he's going, why? And he's quoting all these doctors and why we. And of course, then he doesn't just do it from a health food. He does this from, he says, you're ruining God's temple. Like, ew. He's going on it. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? My appetite's changed in 2 days. We are going to fall tonight, though, amen? Okay? Our appetites can change in any area of life. Hunger and thirst for anything can change. Please, if you get nothing, get this. Don't believe the lie of the devil that your desires can't change. You can change. You're changing. By the way, it's first an act of the will, and once you make the choice, then you get on the steps, you take the path that's going to change your appetites. Our appetites must be changed on purpose. Now, that's where it comes to our steps, okay? Someone gets saved, someone gets baptized, and we have right there growing. We want to help them to grow. If you want to grow, if you want to help someone to grow, you need to help them to change their appetites. You need to help them to change their desires. Look, I rarely bring this phone. I call John. I don't bring the phone. Where's Dave Garcia? Dave Lucero. It's off, Dave, so just let you know. Oh, he's in patch. Okay. John, you were calling me. Were you calling me? Or is that, oh, that was my last call. Okay. This thing right here, you'd be shocked at how many people I see texting in church. By the way, maybe they're not texting. Maybe they're checking a game. Oh, it's a Bible app. Okay. By the way, if it's a Bible app, do that at home. Don't do it in church because you're distracting somebody. Okay. You say, Pastor, are they bad? I don't think they're bad people. I think they don't have an appetite for spiritual things. Here's one person sitting here in the front row or maybe in the back row. Tears coming down their eyes. We're preaching the sermon. God's word is being preached. The Holy Spirit. And then here's another. By the way, I understand people work third shift. I understand some people have sleep apnea. Apnea, is that what's right? People have a hard time. Okay. Some people do, okay? I had sleep apnea when I was in Bible college. You say, what do you mean? I never slept. And whenever I would sit down, it was almost like a button pushed, and I'm about to fall asleep. And, you know, and we learned the George Marino. Thanks, George. It's off, okay? Thanks a lot. Hey, at least you're not sleeping back there, okay? But you say, Pastor, what's the difference? One of the differences is this. Some people, listen, we can have a new Christian come up here and give a testimony and read three verses, and the person that has an appetite for God is like, yes, God spoke to my heart. Then we can have Charles Spurgeon raised from the dead and come up here, and guess what? No appetite. No appetite. By the way, there is an appetite. It's probably, what am I going to watch tonight? Or where are we going to go tomorrow? Our appetites can change. Number one, you say, Pastor, how do you change appetites? And this is for us. This is for the people we're with. You got to spend time in the Bible. If you're a saved person, you open this Bible and you say, God, seek me, search my heart. Know me. See if there's any wicked way in me. Then you confess your sin. Then you open your Bible. And you know what God will start doing? We're coming out of Egypt if you're reading through the Bible. You say, Pastor, what are you getting from God's people coming out of Egypt? You know what I'm getting? I'm just reminded, God's a powerful God. God can do anything he wants. He doesn't need me, but I'm glad I get to be a part of his plan. Spend time in God's word. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have the appetites. By the way, for some of us, me too, some of us, we used to have the appetite. We used to hunger for God, and we used to thirst for God, and we used to hunger for the things of God, and we used to have a desire for the things of God. Let me say, I've got good news. Those appetites can change. Spend time in God's word. Encourage for you, but encourage new Christians. Be in church. You say, why be in church? You're hanging out with people that have the same appetites that you want. You're hanging out with people that love God. And little by little, whether it's a 49er fan or a Chicago Bear fan or a Cub fan or a Laker fan or a Dodger fan, you're a Dodger fan because you hung out with Dodger fans. And you can have an appetite for God if you have the Spirit of God in you, if you hang out with people that have an appetite for God. Separate from people without the appetites that you want. I talked about the Weather Channel. If you have the Weather Channel, you push it over, and I don't know, my kids or my wife put it on there for me. It'll give you the weather, and then what happens is off to the corner, it gives you some weather story. And the last couple of days, there was a weather story. I don't know if it was weather stories. These guys, they're on this small boat, and there's a 14-foot shark. There's a 14-foot shark right next to them. And they're like, wow! They're excited. Like, look, and the 14-foot shark would come up, and they go, hey, there it is! I mean, and by the way, they were filming it. I saw this. This 14-foot shark would come right up. Hey, there it is. Then they go, oh, where'd it go? And then, oh, it's over here. I mean, it's coming like this close to the boat. By the way, that 14-foot shark, it came that close to the boat one time. I'm out of there. I ain't hanging out. I'm out of there. And it kept coming up. I'm going, This is great. And all of a sudden, the 14-foot shark hits the boat. Hits, you know, 14-foot? That's probably about from, here to there. It was huge. You say, what'd they do? They started that motor, and they took off. You say, Pastor, what's the point? It's dangerous to hang out with people that don't have a desire for God. By the way, you're talking about sharks. I think it was a Titanic. You know, not everybody drowned that was on those little rafts. A lot of those people were eaten up by sharks. Those sharks would take the people right off the rafts. There's a lot of us, what happens is, you say, why don't I have the appetite that God wants me to have? It's because we're staying too close to the sharks, and they're grabbing our desire. Let's bow our heads for just a moment.